So have you ever had to wait for something good? Have you ever had to wait for something good? I was going to say, have you ever had to wait for something? But my mind, the first thing it went to was the DMV. And that really wasn't a good analogy to Jesus and waiting for the birth of Christ. So have you ever had to wait for something good? As I thought through different times, I remember being a child and that feeling on Christmas Eve night where you just can't wait for the next morning to arrive, and it seems like the clock just slows down and slows down. You don't want to go to bed early, but at the same time, you want to get it done with so you can wake up the next morning. I always had trouble falling asleep because I was so excited. It was that sense of anticipation, right, for the next morning. And I'm sure my parents blessed me for waking up at 4:35 in the morning, ready to go, and all they wanted to do was sleep in until 6 or 7. I remember being in high school and applying for college, trying to figure out what was I going to do next, and that period of waiting, and then I've seen it with my own children now, waiting to hear back. Did I get into this place or this place? And even once you find that out, waiting for that, then it's, now what am I going to do? And it was this sense of excitement, a little bit of terror mixed in, and waiting to see what was next. I remember our children, the different pregnancies, and waiting for them to be born, and the excitement, especially the first time, not knowing what that would be like, but then again, a second and third time. And I know my waiting was of a whole different nature than Heather's waiting. But in both cases, right, anticipating what was going to come next, and you just can't rush it along. I know sometimes people do wait for things that are less pleasant, that are hard. You wait for the test results to come back, and not just from school test results, but maybe medical test results, and you don't know if it's going to be good news or bad news. I know, as you probably do, many of you from this past week, the feeling of waiting while loved ones may be traveling. Did they make it home safe? Was the traffic okay? Did weather get them? Waiting to hear, oh yes, you made it home. That time of, I don't know yet if they have arrived. All of that gets at the sense of Advent. And it leads us to this story. I decided this year, instead of going through a whole bunch of different stories related to the birth of Christ, to focus in on the story of Simeon and Anna. And there's enough there. I think you'll see this morning. There's enough there to spend 4 weeks going through it in pieces than to arrive at the news of Christmas. Both Simeon and Anna were waiting. Simeon had been told, or had a sense from the Lord. We don't really know what that meant, but the Spirit had told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And so he was waiting, had waited for years. When will I see the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah? We don't hear that about Anna, but we know that she recognizes the Messiah. So she at least was tuned into the question. I loved how Pratt and Ashley framed this in Sunday school. Where am I and where is God right now? Right, looking for what is God doing? Where is God on the move? So both Simeon and Anna, my hope is that as we dig into their story, it will help us cultivate that hopeful faith and those questions of what is God doing right now? Where am I and where is God in my life and around me? It is one of the recurring refrains in the Bible, wait on the Lord. And it's not, I take that back. The psalmists, the people that say wait on the Lord, sometimes are impatient. And they say, how long, O Lord, will I wait? But there's also that positive command of wait, trusting that God is good, that God is faithful, and that God will do what he said he would do. So that's all part of this sense of what is Advent. It is this hoping in, waiting on the Lord, in good and in bad, that God is good, God is faithful, and what's God going to do? So with that, I want to focus in on our story on Simeon. We're just going to look primarily at verses 25 and 26 today, and I'll read those again for you. verses 25 and 26 from Luke 2. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. We'll talk about what that means. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And mainly we're in that verse. 26 says it had been revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. So that's part of his waiting. I want to look at three things from that, really, that verse 25. And I think you can see them already, they kind of flow in logical order. And I want to just say a word about each one. This is what the scriptures say about Simeon. First, he was faithful with what he knew. He was a first century Jew. He did not have what we call our New Testament. He had the Hebrew scriptures, and he knew them. He knew what they said. He knew the stories of God, the story of God's faithfulness, the story of God's covenant, those promises that God made first with Abraham and then renewed with King David. He knew the messages, the sermons of the prophets who spoke of the Messiah that was to come, how God would bring salvation and more. He kept the law. We're told that he was righteous and devout. He knew the Jewish law and he observed it. He kept it. He was a faithful man. And because he was faithful and he kept the scripture and he knew the scripture, he knew to be on the lookout for God's Messiah. And so that leads to the second point. Simeon was hopeful for what God had promised. It wasn't just a personal promise to him that you'll see the Messiah. What he read in the Hebrew scriptures was God had covenanted, promised Abraham, not only to bless Abraham and his children with land and descendants and a name, but to bless them that they might bless all the nations of the earth. That was God's promise. And really the story of our Old Testament is God keeping that promise through generations and over time. And when you get to King David, about halfway through the Old Testament, God renews that covenant and says, I'm going to do all that and more. I'm going to establish my kingdom. And from your line, David will be the one who sits on that eternal throne. It's not going to be of this world. It will be a heavenly kingdom and a heavenly throne. But one of your line will sit on that throne. He also knew the message of the prophets. You hear that in that phrase I said I would explain. He was looking for the consolation or the comfort, same word, consolation or comfort of Israel. That's Isaiah language. He had heard a few Isaiah sermons. He had read the scroll of Isaiah in his life because that's one of the major themes of Isaiah. Many of the prophets talk about the Messiah and talk about God keeping his promises, but Isaiah really focuses in on that idea of comfort, of consolation, as a form, that's what God's salvation is going to look like. It will be a comfort to a world plagued by sin, by sorrow. So I have a slide up here. It's our same Isaiah reading from before, but I've highlighted down near the bottom, you'll see kind of an orange. The Lord has comforted his people. This is Isaiah, one of his messages. This is one of 20 that's just representative. But I've highlighted in yellow all the different ways in this one passage, Isaiah talks about what God is going to do through his anointed one, through the Messiah, right? So there's going to be a day of salvation. This is part of God's covenant. God's going to restore the land. He's going to unbind those who are bound up and set them free. Go forth, right? God's hesed, God's compassion governs all that God does. I mean, there are a number of characteristics, God's holiness and justice and compassion and mercy and faithfulness. Guide them to springs of water. I couldn't help but think of the many times Jesus talked about springs welling up to eternal life. I'm going to give you living water that you don't know of yet, but I have it to offer you. Jesus himself used this language, right, from Isaiah. There'll be joy, rejoicing. And all this Isaiah frames, as he will again and again, as God's comfort to his people, but also because of that covenant to the whole world. So Simeon knew that. He knew what to look for, and that's how he talked about the Messiah. He was waiting for the comforter, the consolation of Israel that God had promised, and God would be faithful. And so if we go on to the next one, the third point is Simeon also experienced God in his life. And I'm not saying it always happens in this order, but I think this is a this is the way God often works, right? If you go with what God has shown you, his scriptures, his word, you dig into them, you learn more and more. It builds trust and faith and hope in who God is, what God has done and will do. And that is part of the soil in which we experience God in our life. So in two different ways, we're told that Simeon experienced God in his life. And that's something I hear a lot of people say. It's like, I can read the Bible. How do I feel? How do I experience God in my life? And Simeon did in at least two ways. God's Holy Spirit, had revealed to him. And we don't know the form of that, whether it was a dream or a vision or a voice or just a nudge in his spirit. But he had a confidence from the Lord that he would see the Messiah before he died. So that was one experience. And then at this event that's recorded here, he wasn't like the ticket taker at the temple. It says the Spirit led him at the same time that Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus came to observe the law, and God's Spirit brought them together. That's another experience of God, right? The Spirit led Simeon for this meeting that God had also told him he would have. And so I want to take those three things and say, well, how do we experience those? What are we waiting for? And I'll mean that both ways. What are you hoping for that has yet to be? What are you waiting for? But also the question, what are you waiting for? If we have examples like this of how to trust God and grow our faith and our hope and experience God, what's holding you back from that? So my question for this is, where is God? Where is your faith in the midst of the things that you are waiting for and hoping for? I named some of those at the beginning. You know, maybe it's test results or loved ones arriving where they need to go. I couldn't help but say this. As soon as I typed it on my computer, I had to start to qualify it. Maybe you're still looking for Mr. or Mrs. Wright. That's not with a W. That's with an R. All right. I know at least two have found Mr. or Mrs. Wright. Right, that's a huge question, right? When will I find the right person in my life if we're single? All kinds of things that we wait for. And my question is, where is God in all of that? And it is perfectly human, and I do it, and I know all of you do it, that we put our trust in a lot of other things, right? So we go buy the lottery ticket. We hope we're going to, you know, against the odds, we're going to strike it rich. Or we you know, look to the internet to answer our questions. That is rarely a good idea. Or we trust people or promises when God is the only sure thing, right? So we have all these paper anchors kind of holding our hopes and our waiting together. When we have the opportunity for God to be our sure anchor in this world. So I would hold out to you the example of Simeon. You can't always take Bible characters as an example. Sometimes they do the wrong thing. But in this case, this so aligns with how God speaks of himself in Scripture and what God has done. I think this is a great, if you want to help focus your waiting and your hopes on God, this is a great way to go about it. Are you faithful with what you know? We have the Word of God, Scripture. You know, do you read it? Do you study it? Do you know how God has been faithful in the past so that you can trust God to be faithful in the future? Do you know those stories? Do you believe them? Do you meditate on them in your heart? It was clear. I mean, we're not told that Simeon knew the word. We're told he was righteous and devout. But he was waiting on, the consolation of Israel. That's straight from Isaiah multiple times. He knew. He had internalized God's word, and he was faithful with what he knew. Are you hopeful for what God has promised? That even if there are these worldly things that we wait for, that we hope in, that we dread, that we're anxious about, do we ultimately land, do you and I ultimately land our hope on God and what God has promised and who God is, that God is good and merciful and just and compassionate and holy and wise? And are you ready to experience God's presence in your life? Simeon for sure did, and people still do today, experience the Holy Spirit leading them, guiding them, comforting them. That's one of the names for the Holy Spirit, is the comforter, the consoler of those who trust in the Lord. Again, it seems like every time Pratt and Ashley come visit, they always, in the flow of the service, they get up after me and they're sharing, and they often say something like, "Well, Robert said this in his sermon," and I'm like, "That they listen really well." I'm gonna preempt you on that. I listened to them in Sunday school, and this is what they were describing with those questions of, "Where am I right now? What is God? Where is God right now? What is God doing?" That's such a simple and memorable way of asking these same questions. Am I being faithful with what I know? Am I hopeful for what God has promised? Am I ready? Wherever God might lead me, might even be a scary place, might be hundreds of miles away from where I am now. Am I ready to experience God's presence in their life? We've been blessed to know you for enough years to hear the other side of that. You saying, "Praise the Lord, for God has led us." I remember when it was new and it was scary, and really, God, are you leading us here? But God is good and God is merciful. All of this is what I want for myself. It's also what I want for you, that we would be faithful, that we'd be hopeful, and that we'd experience God in our life. I want to give you a quick preview of what's coming, and then I want to end with a song today. What's coming in the next 3 weeks, and if you're really observant, you'll notice these line up with the themes of the candles, right? So today was hope. Next week, we're going to talk about the love of God as we light the second candle, the love candle. We're going to look at Simeon's prayer. It's sometimes called the Nunc Dimittis. That's Latin for "now let your servant depart in peace." Or it's just "now let me go in peace." But it's this prayer in verses 29 and 30. We're going to look at the love of God that's on display as Simeon prays this prayer. And in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about joy in the midst of sorrow. And then the Sunday before Christmas, the peace of a prayer-filled life. And we're going to look at Anna's story, the old woman who recognized God at work in the baby Jesus when she saw him. And we're going to look at her story. So I want to end today by singing a song. I think I sang this 19 years ago, possibly 10 years ago. It's one of my very favorite songs. And the only time you can really sing it is if you're preaching about Simeon. So here you go. This is by Michael Card, one of my favorite songwriters and theologians. And it is the story of this meeting between the Holy Family and Simeon. It's called "Now That I've Held Him in My Arms." An old man in the temple, waiting in the court, waiting for the answer to a promise. And all at once he sees them in the morning sunshine, a couple who come in carrying a baby. "Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, 'cause I've seen your salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel." Mary and the baby come, and in her hand 5 shekels, the price to redeem her baby boy. The baby softly cooing, nestled in her arms,
Simeon takes the boy and starts to sing. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, 'cause I've seen your salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. Now's the time to take him in your arms. Your life will never come to an end. He's the only way that you'll find peace. He'll give you salvation, 'cause he's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel.